Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. We're in Londinium in our expanding wine bar, about to have our own vineyard attached to us. A vintage, we'll come up with a name for it. But right now, Germanicus and I have been observing that things are going very badly for the Imperator in one big war about energy. Ukraine, Black Sea Basin, Hormuz, Red Sea, Indian Ocean Basin, very badly. However, do wars ever not go badly? Germanicus, it came to me in a conversation with the author James Scott, who's written a new book about the war end of in the Pacific, that the ends of wars are ragged, because what you're actually witnessing are the tools that will be used for the next war. Nothing is more obvious in 1945 than the decision by Henry Stimson, the Secretary of War, Leslie Groves, the man who built the Manhattan Project and the Trinity Test, and other dignitaries, Jimmy Burns, who was an advisor to the president and would become the Secretary of State in 45, and Harry Truman himself, the new president, just weeks new president, because FDR had not advised him about the challenge that was ahead to make a decision to use the atomic bomb. Winston Churchill weighed in. George Marshall, the commander-in-chief of all the military at sea, weighed in saying, they were all saying, yes, 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 we're going to use it. Harry Truman was not reluctant. He's listening to them. They were making a political decision about how we need to end this war as quickly as possible, aware of the fact that they'd been told after the Trinity test, and beforehand they had some sense that this was a bomb that could destroy a city, one bomb destroy a city. They could imagine it, but they'd never seen it. All right. The reason I'm emphasizing this is because it's obvious now, afterwards, that the way they ended that war is what we've been living with ever since. The war never ended. The atomic weapons proliferated. And now they weigh upon us in exactly the same way. It was called the Interim Committee. That's what they called it. Right. Made a decision to use the uranium bomb on Hiroshima and the plutonium bomb. Well, eventually it wound up on Nagasaki. That wasn't the primary target. They believed that they had to do it to end the war. However, the debate continues, and James Scott and I entered into that debate, not to take sides, just to acknowledge it never really ended. The way we're ending this war in the Middle East and this war in the Black Sea Basin, if we are, is the next war. If we can see it, it's not supposed to be easy. The atomic bombs were easy to see, but an ordinary end of the war, let's take Versailles, for example. It wouldn't have been obvious to anybody in 1919 when they signed that agreement with the Germans that they were creating the conditions for a much bigger catastrophe in 20 years. Nobody would have been convinced of that. In Korea, in 1953 at Panmunjom, nobody would have been convinced that we were creating a permanent threat, North Korea, that would outlive everybody at those tables. Nobody thought of it. So here we are. We're creating the future threat. What is it? What are we creating?
We are creating a united Eurasia that will smoke the United States and its allies.
Yep.
And the reason is that Russia will prevail in Ukraine. And what has the U.S. gained by nurturing and handcrafting the war in Ukraine? what it has done is create a very powerful Russia that is now the best army on earth. And what have we created by attacking Iran? In the same way that Herr Hitler attacked Poland, and it's an aggression that has boomeranged on us. And what has happened is that Iran has survived and is now increasingly melded into this united Eurasia. And the U.S. is not going to be able to deal with this effectively because Europe is collapsing under the weight of the migration that has been unleashed by America's wars after 2001. So the U.S. has created the destruction of its own deepest alliance framework.
And that is not a fault. That might be the logic of ending a war.
Yes. At some point, the U.S. will have to call off the war.
Right.
Because Russia will defeat Ukraine, and Europe will have to pull back because, Europe talks about rearming. But as you can see, just looking at Germany, they can't get people. Britain can't get people into their military. So they are not only weak, they are immobilized countries.
Can we prepare for this future?
Well, the United States has to basically find a way to create its own sphere that will be survivable. As I said on Friday, the only real deterrent to China today is Japan and Korea because they have real navies. Let's look at what's going on right now because the U.S. has gotten so overextended in trying to fight Iran. And its carrier deployments have exposed the weakness of the American military staying power. The Lincoln Battle Group is now being withdrawn, and what's going to take its place? The George Washington. That is the carrier.
All right, but can we prepare for what you're identifying?
No, but that's the carrier that was...
You're finding... I accept the fact that that's the problem. Can we prepare for these problems will turn into the next war?
No, we can't have a next war. We can't fight China. What I'm trying to get at, Gaius, is that Japan and Korea are the only actual effective naval powers that form a deterrent to China. We are relevant to that deterrent. And I look at Japan and Korea and their navies, and they are terrific. Our navy is not up to the task. So we are relying on our allies, and the only effective allies we have in the Western Pacific are Japan and Korea. And they're so much more capable.
Is there anything that can be done in addition? You're identifying the problem.
Yes.
What I'm looking for is it possible to anticipate what comes next? You're identifying what comes next, which is...
What we need to do is get out of the Middle East, refocus ourselves on developing an American realm and making it defensible. We're not doing that. We don't even recognize the fact that we need to do this. We're still living in a dream world. That dream world is collapsing. And the shame is that we cannot even recognize that it is collapsing.
They're pretending. 1919 couldn't have recognized.
No, but it should have.
It didn't. All right. 1945 didn't see the bomb. They thought they could share it and everybody would enjoy the secrets and we could turn it into the atomic nuclear power plants for freedom of energy.
Yeah.
They had a vision, but they didn't see it as a threat. I'm saying it's a threat. The resolution of these wars is a threat. You've identified Eurasia will have won. The condominium of Pyongyang, Tehran, Moscow, and Beijing will be supreme. Correct? That's what you're identifying.
Well, we have to effectively nurture and shore up the ROC, Republic of Korea, Japan, and to a lesser extent Australia, and make sure that those are the ways in which we contain China, because frankly, and this is an incredible strategic abdication, is the U.S. let its Navy go, and we cannot do this. We got ourselves distracted by Israel into a failing Middle East adventure that has gone south, and we have been...
So your recommendation is to rebuild the Navy then?
Oh yes, and American shipbuilding, and none of that is evident now. Our shipbuilding programs are simply...
Correct. We've been closing hundreds of shipyards for 20 or 30 years.
Well, we have, but I mean, all of the efforts in the new, announced shipbuilding revival aren't happening. And they won't happen for 10 or 15 years. And in fact, the administration is now...
Germanicus, you're articulate about complaining about the administration. I acknowledge all that.
Okay.
There's going to be another administration.
Yes.
And after that. So let's make it the year 2055. All right?
Mm-hmm.
20 years, 30 years from now. What is it that we can see today that would make it possible for us to reposition ourselves in 2055?
We need to light a fire under our butt. And in the interim, we need to buy ships from Japan and Korea, warships. And then we need to actually rebuild everything in the U.S., but we're not doing it. There's no urgency.
30 years from now, that's when we'll get to it.
It might happen in 30 years. John.
They didn't put in the Navy Act until 36, and it wasn't going to deliver until 42. Well,
yes, but I mean, let's contrast that buildup with, and that was when the U.S. had 30% of all manufacturing in the world, and we were in a perfect position to do whatever we wanted. Contrast that with the U.S. in the 1880s. When we decided to build a new Navy, and it took a long time to develop that Navy because we had sunk so low. And that is the actual example that we need to understand, that like the U.S. Navy in the late 1870s or 1880s, we need to go to foreign companies and we need to understand that we are now in a position where we are incapable of revival. And this goes across the board.
We understand, Germanicus, I'm going with the posit that we understand. Okay, it's a posit, that's all. I'm not proving it.
Well, we need
2055, we will see that.
Well, maybe. I don't see it now. Mr. Trump has talked endlessly with his flack mouthpiece, Pete Hegseth, about how we're going to do things and have a great revival. Nothing effectively is being done.
I'm positing that it's 2055 and nothing has happened.
It could happen. I'm hoping it will happen. But I look at the DSA blue side. They just want to dismantle our military.
That's okay. So, we dismantled after the 1919. We dismantled.
Yes. Yeah, we're going to be probably screwed for the future because there is no realistic, pragmatic group of American builders who will do this thing.
Right. We can't see it. I'll accept the fact that we can't see the future.
Yeah, but we're not doing it. We're not going to do it.
We can see now, but we can't see 30 years from now. And that's a limitation of whatever this ability is for us.
It could happen. You're right. It could happen.
All I have is an example of something before, and you've identified the Navy. All right, that's good. Because in 1919, they didn't identify anything. And in 1945, they identified the bomb, but they didn't see what other complications were coming up.
Right, but we had a great Navy in 1945. In 1919, we had a great Navy. But the fact is that today, we don't have the actual people with the skills to build ships. And if you can't create
Yes, things are wrong. Yes. Well, who's arguing against you?
No, but the wrong is so deep, and the response from people who say they're going to do something about it is so flatulent and rhetorical. I just don't see anything.
All right. Let's go to that. We're running into the frustration of not being able to solve a problem.
Right.
All right, we're going to leave it alone then. They couldn't solve 1919, and it's not true we had a great Navy in 1919. Britain had a great Navy in 1919. We didn't. And then they let the Germans scuttle their own fleet. Good heavens. All those battleships going down.
A big mistake.
Yes, I understand. But still, we did not have a great Navy in 1919, and we didn't have one in 1936. That's why they passed that. That's why they built the Wasp, rolling off after we'd lost those carriers. So America doesn't like to get ready. It would appear that we hustle.
We're not doing it now. We're not doing anything.
Correct. And isn't that the nature of getting yourself in trouble when you stop? All right, leave it alone.
Yeah, we're in trouble, but we can't see it. And even if we see it, we won't do anything about it.
That's right, and that's the way we work. Correct?
Yes, it is exactly.
All right, we recognize it. I'm sure that. Let's see, 1861, we weren't ready. No one was ready. 61, let me think, is there a time we were ready?
Well, in 1861, like the period before World War II, we had great shipbuilding. So we were able to respond in 1861 and build a great Navy.
And blockade the South, but they built it very quickly.
But the problem today is like the problem in the late 1870s, we've become so atrophied and sclerotic that we don't even know how to get out of the hole we're in.
All right, let's go to the Music Germanicus. You've established this. No one has spoken against you for a half hour. I want you to consider the fact that you don't need to be right more than twice in a row.
Okay.
All right. We're going to talk about diplomacy, which is missing, and why diplomacy is necessary, and how an imperator such as we have right now is incapable of diplomacy. Well, let's have the Roman Orchestra for just a moment. Thank you.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.